Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello!
Hello!
Welcome to this program called We Heart Worry.
Woohoo! It's a comedy podcast.
About worry.
And anxiety and stuff.
Not about cars.
Not about cars and their engines. I'm Yasmin Akram.
I'm Philippa Dunn.
Welcome. Should we get real with people in this episode, Phil, and say that there's been a bit of a time...
There's been a time lapse.
Time lapse between episode 5 and now. How long is it?
There's been a time lapse between episode 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And this is 6.
Yeah.
And this episode 6 is approximately one full calendar year later.
Yeah.
Then what? 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 were recorded.
Yeah. I was going to say lots happened, but really my life is very similar.
There's been... Look, things are bound to change in a year and a lot has changed in the year and a lot has changed as of recent.
Yeah.
And we were going to... I merged kind of and going...
I saw what you did there and I thought it was lovely.
I didn't know I was doing it. But anyway, it's there.
It's happened.
It's out there. We were going to talk about that basically.
Mm-hmm.
About the
recent events.
Most notably since March.
Yeah.
Of this year,
2020. Yeah.
Not 2020.
Two 20s together.
Stuck side by side.
Yeah. A 2 and a 0. A 2 and a 0. That's how you remember it. That's how I've written it as well.
If you can hear my dishwasher gurgling in the background, it's because we're in my house.
Because we're in Philippa Dunn's lair. Den.
Yeah. Complex.
We've got a duvet over two clothes horses.
Yeah.
Trying to fence us in and give us a studio kind of vibe, which I'm feeling.
Yeah, I was feeling until I heard the dishwasher going and then I remembered.
The dishwasher is
the
there.
The dishwasher. Why did I put... Well, it's like it's 1 o'clock in the day. I put that dishwasher on at like a 9:30.
Really?
What are you washing,
Phil?
Well, I'm going to put it on the eco setting or something like
that. Oh, let me see.
Oh, what? Did you hear that?
Is it over? It's beeping.
That's it.
It's bibbing.
It's also the beep from University Challenge, is it? And now...
I've never really watched that.
No, neither have I.
No.
I can't keep up.
I'm not going to enter into a competition I can't ever win.
No. No, I could just about do Blockbusters. I actually didn't... Because Blockbusters was always on when we were a kid.
Yeah.
I didn't even...
That's your cat.
That's the dishwasher.
Oh.
Dishwasher opens on its own.
Okay.
Ooh la la.
This is, it's look like it. Living in the future.
When I said it was a complex, I wasn't exaggerating.
sorry to blame
It's just
cat.
A house, come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that Blockbusters was a quiz.
What did you think it was?
I was just looking at them hexagons going across the screen and trying to figure out what that was. I was like, what is any of this? And I knew there was Bob and that's about it.
So you were completely tuned out apart from the hexagons across the screen and Bob, the host?
Yeah.
Did you know they were answering questions to make those hexagons?
No.
Right.
Not even really.
Because it was, do you remember there was letters and it would go...
Can I have a P, please,
Bob?
Bob.
That was the big joke back then.
Yeah.
And then inevitably they were trying to get across the screen in a kind of a linear
fashion.
Yeah.
You can't do a linear fashion with a hexagon due to its shape alone
exactly.
And its nature.
But this brings us back to the rhombus conversation
yes.
Episode 4, I think it was.
Oh yeah, the person who I had that rhombus conversation tackled me on that.
Really?
Not in an aggressive way, just in a conversation.
Okay.
She said, was that me you had that? And I said, well, who... Basically, who else would I have that conversation with? And he was like, yeah, I knew it was me.
Well, you know.
Questions answered.
Exactly. You knew it yourself. You didn't even have to ask the question. You knew it was you.
You knew.
If you think it's you, it's you.
It's you.
If we're talking about you on this thing, it's you.
I love that phrase. You know, when you're like, at something or you're working on something and you're like, and there's no dickheads.
Yeah.
Because if there's no dickheads, the dickhead is you.
Yeah, that's the hard thing to swallow, isn't it?
I've said that out loud so many times.
Oh my God, yeah. Everyone's lovely on this job.
Yeah.
Oh God, usually get some tool.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, yeah. You're some tool, aren't
that
you?
The thing where they're pointing secretly at you. Doing that. And they put up their hand as a shield and they're pointing behind it. Going,
it's you.
It's you.
Uh-huh. But we do want to talk about the coronavirus.
Mm.
We do want to talk about our experiences of it. And we were saying before, because obviously we worried before we even tackled the subject, that obviously we know it was a very, very serious, horrible thing where people died. People
still is.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
And lots of people lost their jobs. Don't know what they're going to do. Businesses have closed. So when we're talking about our experiences of coronavirus, please do not think for a second we don't realise that bigger things happened outside of our little bubbles.
Yeah. And it's been a horrendously stressful time for so many people.
Mm.
I guess what we're talking about when it comes to our own worries in such a horrible scenario as a world pandemic is, what have we learnt about our own worry?
Yeah.
Because it's a situation that could send your worry into overdrive. Has it?
Are you asking that question to me, Philippa Dunn?
If you want to answer, the floor is yours.
Well, I think it's one of those things where if you're looking for a problem, you know, they say, like, you know, I'm the type of person who's always looking for a problem. Then when an actual problem shows up, you do go, oh, so this is actually something I should be worried about.
An actual problem.
Yeah. How is this going to work in my little brain? It was like my mind couldn't really, because my, you know, I'm used to worrying about all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
That it really was a new place for my mind to go to. And it really, I don't know if it enjoyed it. I think it was more like, oh, I thought all these years of worry would have accumulated into some kind of way of dealing with this situation.
Yeah, like it would have contributed towards a life strategy that would be beneficial.
Exactly.
In some way.
I can give you an example of this. Yeah. At the beginning of the pandemic, as my friend Colin called it, he said, I'm getting ripped during the pandemic.
Okay.
I went to the supermarket. This was like day 3 or 4 when everybody had gone nuts and the toilet paper was being ripped from the shelves.
There's nothing to be had.
So I went up to the supermarket and I walked in and I looked over at the bread shelf and all of the bread was gone. And it was like, because my brain had nothing to compare that to in the banks of past experience, I kind of went, well, they're obviously going to bring some bread out soon. That's going to happen because there's never been a time where there hasn't been any bread.
Yeah.
So then I walked over to the meat section. There was no meat on any of the shelves. There was no chicken, there was no fish, there was nothing there at all. My response was to go back over to the bread shelves.
Yeah, because I guess your brain is going, just go over and have another look.
Go back to the bread because I'm sure there was bread there. Maybe we missed a slice.
Have a look at the very back. There could be a packet of wraps there that are just because they're flush with the shelving itself, that you just might have overlooked them there. Or there might be a scone or
there
something.
There might be a scone that managed to get free of the others in a packet.
But they should be in the freshly baked.
They should.
They wouldn't be in the bread necessarily.
They wouldn't be, they're going to be in the...
That's the University Challenge dishwasher telling you
that. It's up. Time's up.
No, it's not actually. Keep going.
But yeah, so that I kind of went, oh, that's really interesting that my brain has told me to go back and do the same thing again.
Just have another look.
Just go back there. So that frightened me because, again, me and you have often talked about zombie apocalypses because of our love of The Walking Dead and such.
Mm.
And now I realise with this smaller scale situation, insofar as it wasn't a rampage taking over the countries in a zombie apocalypse way, that I would be the first to go in an actual zombie apocalypse. You wouldn't get a day out of me, Phil.
You'd get it pretty quick.
Because I'd walk out, I'd see there'd be a load of zombies, I'd walk back in, and then I'd just walk back out again, it would seem. That would be my brain would go.
The brain would say, have another look.
Listen, yes, okay, they're all coming towards you, and they're clearly undead.
Hmm.
But don't let that stop you.
And even if you woke up of the morning and you looked out the window and you noticed they were 4, 5, 6 deep at the door, struggling to get in.
Yeah. I'd probably shoo them away with a tea towel.
Go away.
Go on. No, go on.
Go home. Did you ever hear? Okay, so I started to stockpile a little list of things that I haven't seen or heard since I was a kid.
Go on.
I won't remember them all now, but basically one of them was people always telling dogs to go home. Go home. Did that happen where you grew up?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I'm not wrong. It was always a dog somewhere, and there was always someone going, hey, go home. Go home. Because everyone knew where the dog came from. Everyone knew that it was...
Yeah, it wasn't a random dog.
No,
was
it was like O'Sullivan's dog or it was whoever.
That is also such an Irish thing. Go home.
Go home.
Go home.
And the other thing you don't see anymore is people walking around with cotton wool in their ears.
I feel I've never seen that one. Oh. When did that happen?
I used to see that as a child.
In the heads of old men or...
Well, I used to ask my mother, I was like, ma'am, why has that boy got cotton wool in his ears? And she goes, oh, he probably got an earache.
Oh, and now...
Hmm.
Do you know what? Maybe I was that kid. Again, if it, you don't know who the wanker is, it's you on a set.
Yeah.
You don't know who the...
No one's got cotton wool in their ears.
Because it's a, and you can't see in your own ears.
No.
I had a quite a... I would get a waxy build-up. I was known for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm famed.
Around the town. That's your one with the waxy build-up.
I've got a waxy build-up. So I do think I did have the odd cotton bud in my ear from time to time.
I'm talking about cotton wool.
Yes. I'm saying bud, but what I mean is ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Soaked in some kind of olive oil or something like that to get the
head
juices moving. I don't know.
Oh, in your own instance.
Yes. Yeah. To soften the wax.
Mm. Encourage it to move along.
I hope no one's eating while there isn't.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
We also had a neighbourhood dog. Did you have a neighbourhood dog?
There was the neighbour's dog, the next door.
Right. Because was he well kept and well groomed?
Ara. We're talking Mayo in the late 80s.
Talking County Mayo in the late 80s. It wasn't Crufts.
I still have a grievance with this dog because I finally persuaded my mother. Basically, it was obviously Mayo in the 80s. And clothing-wise, a lot of what you wore was the hand-me-downs.
Mm.
Now, I'm the youngest of three, the two oldest being boys.
Right.
So I'm accustomed to wearing a khaki or a beige short with the matching kind of camouflage top. It was all boys' clothes, right?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But then I got these fancy threads off the cousin in England.
Oh.
So they were...
Male or female?
Female.
Oh.
And like these were number one English clothes.
Oh, because you're not going to get them in town. Oh,
Jesus Christ, no. No, they won't be stocking them down in Dunn's or Penny's. And number two, she had worn them.
And she was a big deal.
Ah, she was cool out now. Cool out. Seriously. No, because she was older than me. And I was like... She's like the coolest girl I know because she's English and she's like my older cousin. And so I got this rig out from her and it was always at the top of the hot press and I'd look in and I could see it at the very top of the hot press. And I'm like, ma'am, when can I wear the mint green rig out?
Oh.
It was a mint green polo neck.
Yeah.
Full sleeve. And there was a matching skirt, mint green. And on the skirt, there was kind of like, cast your mind back to like really early 90s print. You know, there'd be like black geometric...
Yes.
Circles and squares and triangles.
Yeah.
So it was a black circle, square, triangle pattern
nice.
On the mint green skirt. So anyway, eventually convinced the mother to take down off the top rung of the hot press. And I got to wear it out one day and I was going, well, I know where I'm going immediately in this regard, which was to go down
Hollywood.
To
Hollywood.
Well, yeah, but first of all, I'm going down off, to the neighbours down the road for a good old show off. Like, you know, you walk down the road like this with the shoulders going back, going, I'm gonna go.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're waiting for people to the curtains to start twitching.
Yeah, and you're this is from England.
This is from England.
England. Where'd you get it? Oh, this is from England.
Just sent over from on a boat.
So I went. I was making my way down to the friend's house for the good show off.
Yeah.
The gloat, like.
Yeah.
And the neighbour's dog appeared. And she went for me. And she got me square on the breast. With the two mucky paws. And I just remember looking down going, I haven't this on 10 minutes. And I haven't even done my show off yet. And there's these two mucky paws on my breast. And I was like, oh no, this is the exact reason why my mother wouldn't let me wear it. Because she'll say, it'll be on you 10 minutes and it'll be filthy.
And you were going, no, things have changed.
Ma'am, I'm nearly 10. Come on now. Cut me some slack.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
So I had to go down to the neighbour and do my show off. Filthy. So I still have this grudge against the neighbourhood dog.
Paw prints on your boobs as well. Mm. Which is, you couldn't pass off as a style choice.
No. It was, and because it was Mayo in the 80s with sideways rain, it was pure muck, like muck.
Oh, listen, Phil. Also, just a quick clarification of the word hot press.
Hot press.
Because people don't know, hot press is basically airing cupboard, if you're not familiar with it. Because they don't say it here. And if anyone was to listen to this in America or Australia or any English speaking country, they might not know what a hot press is. But it's an airing cupboard or whatever you call it in your
house
or country.
Yes.
Anyway, getting back to the old coronavirus.
Exactly. I'm so sorry.
No, listen. Diversion. We needed to cover all of those things. What did you experience during this last, like, we're in month four.
When did this start? March.
March.
April, May, June. This is the, month four.
Yeah.
I just kind of what you touched on there, which is here's something really serious that's actually happening in the world.
Mm.
People are dying. People are experiencing awful hardship. Are you going to worry about it? No, I didn't worry about it. I didn't worry about it for a second. I worried that I had poisoned one of the neighbourhood children with me watering can. And I also worried that I'd sent something illegal in the post to you. These are the, yet again.
How did you think that was illegal, though?
Because there's all sorts of restrictions on stuff that you can send in the mail.
Right.
And I read them restrictions, I'd say, back to front, upside down, about 3-4 times, going, is it on the list? Would there be this on? And I even felt like ringing them up. I did try to ring them up. I rang up Royal Mail with my question to go, can
I send this? Send heroin. Because it was about 2 kilos of heroin, is it?
No, it was 1.5. Get your facts right. No, it was something for your house.
It was. I don't mind saying I had some mice, and he very kindly sent me some mouse things, sonar things.
Yeah, to try and deter. It's a deterrent. It's a sonar deterrent. Yeah, and I even was going to ring Royal Mail, and then you phone them up, and they remind you. They go like, look, because of what's going on in the world, there's like we're kind of busy, and we mightn't get around to answering the phone, so you might piss off and, you know, do something actually useful. This is the thing, is that, like, it's what I find really frustrating about myself, is I will spend hours and hours and hours worrying about absolutely useless shite.
Mm.
Absolutely. But then when there's something actually seriously going on in the world that, like, I don't know if I go into denial. Like, I had some real world worries. Like, I worried about my parents because they're in their 70s and I couldn't think about them getting sick or anything like that, especially since I'm not at home to be around them if they needed anything. But like, no, I was, the watering can incident was, I was out washing the flowers one evening and one of the kids on the road had left their water bottle on the curb.
Right.
And I noticed that the water runoff from my flower bed was trickling down the ever so slight incline of the driveway.
Right.
And it kind of pooled around the base of this water bottle.
Okay, yeah.
Now, at the time, it was just like, I just went, all right, God, the water really ran off the thing there now. Yeah, Grant went in. And then I'd had a bit of a think to myself and I went, oh, now you see, a few weeks ago, there was some fertilizer in that watering can. And now it's gone and gotten on the kid's water bottle. And the kid is going to maybe lick the outside of the water bottle. And they're going to get poisoned and you should go out there and talk to... Oh, and I didn't know who owned the water bottle.
Oh.
So I saw myself...
Who owned the child?
I'd know who owned the child. Right. I wouldn't know which child owned the water bottle.
Right.
But I saw myself knocking around the houses going, sorry, does your child own a water bottle with the silver lid and that?
And are they at present licking it?
No. You see, I think the kids went in for their tea.
Right.
So the water bottle was just left there.
Yeah.
And then I went in for my tea.
Of course.
And because it was tea time. And by the time I came out, the water bottle was gone. And I was like, should I knock around the houses and go, does your kid own a water bottle that looks like this?
Yeah.
And they go, yes or no. And then I would say, well, you see, the thing is, I was out watering my flowers and some water from my watering can got on the bottle.
Mm.
And they'd be like, yeah. And I'd go, you see, a few weeks ago, there was fertilizer in the watering can. Now, there's been water in it since.
Yeah. Yeah, but I need you to know this.
Yes.
You need all the information.
Yes. And then I realised that's actually kind of really useless. Don't do that. That will help nobody. It's kind of ridiculous. Finish your tea and go to bed. And then the next morning, I did find myself getting up and looking out the window to see if the kids were all right, because they go out and play every day.
Yeah. I don't want to. Sorry, I'm not meaning to laugh at the image of a dead child
on the road.
But it did. It's just made me chuckle, and I'm sorry about that.
Well, I was kind of looking out the windows going, yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
All present and accounted for.
Yeah. And they all look in good health. Yeah. And they're playing and they're running around. And
they look hydrated, so they've obviously had some water in the interim.
Clean water, yeah. It's just when your thinking goes to the place of, okay, if I'm going to do something about this, I'm going to end up looking really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, so, it's a constant thing, isn't it, Phil? Yeah. Just trying to fight off the strangeness and what you're going to seem.
Yeah. Same way that I knew that thing that I was sending you in the post, you know, the way it says on the post box gets collected at 6 o'clock, whatever. Yeah. I was sitting there for the day going, you know, you have 45 minutes to get up to the high street there and stand beside the box. And then when postman comes along, you just go, sorry, there's a thing.
Hold on there.
You say, I couldn't get through on the phone earlier, but could I ask you? See that package there, that's mine. I'm sending it to my friend. You see, what's in it is a sonar deterrent for mice. As far as I know, there are no batteries included. And it's the batteries you've the hang up on, isn't it? It is. It's the batteries.
Am I right in thinking that?
You're not allowed to post the batteries. And I just go, you know, and I kept going during the day going, you should go up there now and infiltrate. You know, what's the...
Intercept
the package before it goes in the post, because next thing you know, you'll be up in court.
Very, very MI5.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
So no, I wasn't. And like, you know, and then of course, if I was running up the high street to do that, mm-hmm. would I have worn gloves? Would I have worn a mask? Would I have social distanced?
When you're on a mission...
I was pure distracted. This stupid distraction. Would you just worry about like what you have to worry about, which is real world stuff, instead of going off into the fantasy land with these make believe useless, you know?
I'm not going to speak for you, but I don't know if my brain can handle real world situations, and so it's there, knobbing about, because this is the thing I realised now in the last week or so, that I. Because we did lots of Zooms and Skypes and that over the lockdown period, which is lovely. And thank you so much for that. But I was going, I'm fine. I'm getting on. I've got lots of work to do. I'm enjoying cooking. I'm going for walks around the park. And I live on my own. So I was going, you know, it's not like out of everybody who's at risk, I'm not really, because as long as I sanitize, it's not like I'm in a house of five people where
some people are going to work.
Yes. Or, yeah. Yeah. It's just like me coming home, and also I'm self-employed. So I was working from home. If I wanted to of a day, I'd take a turn around the park, go to the shop. And that was kind of my lot. And I thought I was handling it really well. And then about a week ago, I realized I was having a Zoom with some friends. We were doing like a group Zoom. And one of my friends, Julie, said, you know, everyone's saying that you're going to leave this lockdown a hunk, a chunk, or a drunk.
Oh.
And I was going, ha, 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 ha. And then I went, well, no, I have been eating an awful lot. Like Phil, I was eating like it was going out, like the food was running out. Like there was never going to be any bread on the shelves ever.
Okay.
And then I was like, that's really weird, because I don't really do that. I used to do that a lot, an awful lot. I haven't done that in a long time. And then I kind of went, oh, this is affecting me. And I'm trying to be like, I'm fine. Mm. Nothing's wrong with me. I'm really good. But I hadn't seen people physically at one point in about 2.5 months. I hadn't seen anybody I knew and had a conversation with anybody I loved face to face. It was all on a computer screen. Mm. And I think that really impacts you as a human when you're not seeing the people that you love, that you rely on, and looking in their eyes, and you know, getting like, just, you know, because even with the Zooms and the Skypes, you're not,
it's, you know, the same.
Yeah, it's not the same, but you can't get the eye line right.
No,
you know,
now it's a momentary relief where you go, oh great, that person is still alive and they look well and they sound well and great to see them. But no, I think as human beings, we're all, our brains are hardwired to be connected to others.
Yeah.
And so extended periods of time away from others, whether you're aware of it or not, it's going to really get you.
All of television history is contained within the Box of Delights.
It was happening in front of us.
Incredible.
In our living rooms. It was amazing.
Guests pick their favourite television moment.
And tell us why they love it.
And is this the episode where Daisy's just been for the interview at the Woman's Magazine?
Flaps.
That's it, Flaps.
Yeah.
Named one of Radio Times' best podcasts of the year.
I don't understand people who don't see the joy in drawing the curtains, mug of hot chocolate and something nice on TV. Like, what could be nicer than that?
Than having a snuggle.
Exactly.
Nostalgia in bite-sized chunks.
Box of Delights
from Great Big Owl.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I think it was like a depression and a heaviness I was feeling. And I thought of, again, doing really well because I was also talking to people that I hadn't spoken to in ages and having like ended up really reconnecting with my two friends, Darren and Colin, who I grew up with. Mm. And we were Skyping like every weekend, and me and my other two friends, Joe and Mark, we were Skyping every Thursday. Mm. And that was lovely because we were just going, God, we're spending all this time together. Mm. So you think you're really doing great things and forging all these new or reconnecting another way to say it is reconnecting, is it? Yeah. I was saying forging new friendships, but it wasn't. They were my old friends.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Reconnecting. Intercepting.
But then going, it's what your brain does when it's experiencing a trauma. Because I think this is like a worldwide trauma.
Mm.
And we're all kind of going, trying to get through it. Then it's over, hopefully, at some point. And then you look back and go, oh, I was really...
Do you remember that? Yeah, I'm constantly thinking that. Like, will we look back in 10 or 15 years and be like, we still can't believe it.
Yeah.
Still can't. Because it's that thing, like, remember watching 9/11 happen live on the Jason telly? And I just didn't believe it. I was like, I'm not computing. This is a film. This isn't happening.
Nah. How can it be happening?
Yeah. I think we have a safety limit to what we can take in.
Yeah.
Otherwise our mind will explode. So I think a lot of stuff is just like, that's kind of not happening. I'm just, no, everything's fine, everything's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's when you kind of have a chance to look back and go,
you stop and
that was completely messed up.
That was totally mad. Totally mad.
And I know that some people, like my friend's mother passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
And even just kind of going, so that funeral is taking place on Zoom.
Oh.
Or like there was a live stream of the funeral for like people who couldn't physically be there.
Very strange.
Just, crazy. Like, because obviously like really close family members couldn't get back.
Mm.
And then you just go, there's lots of people who've had that experience as well of like losing somebody either to the actual virus or just, you know, somebody passed away and how horrific that is that you can't go and be with your family, you know, or say goodbye to your loved
one.
It's messed up.
That's just awful stuff.
Yeah. And then I go, oh, bread, big warriors.
There's no hovis. I wonder, is it possible for people to take in the level of weirdness that there's been?
I'm going to say no.
Mm. Just put it out there.
I'm just going to say no. Because it's like anything, when something massive happens, your brain has to, like, it's exactly what you say, your brain kind of goes, this is not real, this is a film.
Mm.
I'm waking up in the morning, I'm going through all of the things that I need to do to be in the world, and then I'm going back to bed. And I do that for 2 or 3 weeks, and then I feel like it's passed and it's fine. It's like when, yeah, it's like losing somebody as well. You do end up going, I don't understand how I'm getting through this, but I am. And then a year later you go, oh my God, that was just, I was crazy.
Nothing's fine.
Yeah.
Actually, nothing is good. Nothing's okay.
Yeah.
I think one is very good at convincing yourself. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Listen,
everything's fine. Can I ask, how many apocalyptic, illnessy kind of films did you watch?
Oh, zero.
Zero?
I was curious. I wanted to watch Outbreak. That's the one with Ebola, isn't it? No. Is it Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman and the monkey.
I wanted to watch that because I remember as a kid it did really terrify me.
Right.
And I wanted to watch it to see, did it have the same effect?
Yeah.
Considering what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
But it didn't. No, I watched a lot of reality television instead.
Good. Yeah.
Because it is the ultimate escapism.
Oh, listen.
But then very confusing because you're watching it going, you know, there's people sitting beside each other on couches and stuff. And you're like, you're not allowed to do that.
You're not. Stop.
And then you remember that this is recorded in 2018.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some of them in 2010, I started watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and that started in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going, everyone can, yeah, you can sit that close, it's fine.
Yeah.
I did watch everything that I could that was in at all like
a full immersion into full immersion. The I watched torture.
Contagion.
What's that one now?
That is, oh, it's got so many great people. Gwyneth Paltrow in it is a woman who comes back from a trip. She's got a flu. She's married to Matt Damon.
Oh.
She's dead.
Does she die?
You lose Gwyneth Paltrow at the top of this film.
Well, no.
It's very, it's a confident move by Steven Soderbergh, I think is the director. Maybe he's the writer. I can't remember who wrote it. But
yeah.
So you lose, Paltrow's gone, right?
Immediately.
And then you're also thinking, because I think she's got a very strong immune system, hasn't she? Like as a human being, because of goop and all that.
In real life.
Yeah.
Because of her candles and stuff.
Because of her candles.
Is and the yoga.
Is it fanny candles? Is it those candles you put up your vagina?
No, I think she made one that smells like.
Oh, yeah. Now, what do you, how, where, when are you burning that?
Where do I stand on that?
Yeah, like, when would you burn a fanny scented candle?
Never.
Christening.
Wafted over the baby. Do you remember? Bring back any memories. Do you remember this? I don't see any reason.
No.
It's the kind of thing that, like, Jesus, if you were awful into yourself, you might sit in a room and close all the doors and all the windows and burn it. Just you. Just be like, I'm class.
And just go, is it just general fanny or is it your fanny?
Or is it just Gwyneth's?
Gwyneth, because I'd say that smells very hygienic and well cared for.
I don't know. I don't know because anytime I saw any headline or anyone talking about it anywhere, I just went, no, thanks. As in, let's not. Just, I don't, no, I'm not. I don't know.
No. I don't need one. I don't want to talk about it.
But it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'm just like, come on.
No, you get to a point, I suppose. Because there was another thing that was on there. I think it was about something going up your fanny, like an egg or something.
Okay, yeah, there's those things that you put up there to keep the muscles.
You'd forget.
Well, like going back to, I'd just be scared. What's the fucking point?
Well, yeah, you know.
Excuse my language.
Well, my mother used to always say, especially with me sticky ears, you know, keep your finger out of there.
Yeah.
You just go, don't go rooting around sticking things in, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, that is an equivalent to a cotton ball in your ear, cotton bud.
Oh, trying
to, you know, fish it. Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Now, somebody can write in and say, this has changed my life. But
it's for the muscle, isn't it? It's for muscle tone.
Oh, is it?
It's basically the muscles you use to keep it up, keep the egg up there all day.
Oh my God. I just have too many visions of that falling out somewhere.
Look, because I have other things for doing. I'm... I've towels to fold and I have...
I've got to get a dinner on.
I have to get a dinner on and I have a floor to sweep. I'm not... I don't want... I don't have time now for that kind of thing. I'm sounding ancient.
But listen, I think it's fair enough. But anyway, so they lose Paltrow in the first 10 minutes of this film.
Contagion.
Then her little boy dies.
So shit.
That devastating. If you haven't watched it, it's ages old. So, you know, this is on you. Turn it off now. Turn this podcast off now. Go watch it. Then anyway, it turns out that she is patient zero.
Okay.
She's
the source.
She is the source.
Oh, interesting.
So then it's all like this.
So it's all about Gwyneth.
It's all about Gwyneth. But it's also the spread of this thing. It was exactly like coronavirus. It was all like we start touching surfaces.
You see,
everybody has to. But you get it and you were gone. And there was a few people like Matt Damon who was immune for whatever reason.
Genuinely immune.
Yeah, because he was married to Gwyneth Paltrow. He was the dad of the kid. So they were in the house together. She comes back. The kid gets it. The kid dies. Matt Damon is fine. They locked him in a room at some point. Kate Winslet came in, asked him some questions.
Kate Winslet is in this.
Kate Winslet's in it. Guess what happens to her? Dead.
This is an all-star cast who are... They're
dropping like flies.
They're not afraid to kill them babies.
Getting it. Just done. Jude Law is in it.
He's
rush. I can't remember. I think he's fine. He's lying. He lies at one point and says he finds a cure. But it's only to shift some merchandise he's selling on the sly.
Oh, does she mean shift like a girl?
Oh,
to
no.
To impress her. To go, hiya, how are you?
Can you imagine if Jude Law had to resort to lies? Everyone wants to kiss Jude Law.
In order to get a shift.
He lives very close to my best friend. And she just see him on the high street. And she says she has followed him. A number of times. She said he went into the greengrocer and asked for some lamb's lettuce and she was like, that's a really classy move. Don't know, but Jude Law knows.
Well, he's the man in the know.
I'm always up there looking around for him. He's never there when I'm there.
Jude!
But in the film anyway.
Yeah.
He's up to no good. But anyway.
Lying.
But everyone gets it really, really quickly and you get it and then you get a bit of a cold or a cough and then that's it, you're gone.
Okay.
So, but it was very similar to the spread, like how quickly it was spreading was kind of probably 10 times faster than Corona. It was like literally. And it would just kill anybody who came into contact with it apart from your few Matt Damon types. But it was also like showing how everyone was reacting and people were like, at one point, sorry, say that again?
I was just going to say, were they not taking it seriously?
They were losing their minds. So at one point, there was a food truck that shows up to feed people and everyone just basically started kicking it over and going nuts. And Matt Damon, of course, was trying to calm everyone down.
Oh.
And they weren't...
It's all right for you, Matt. You're immune.
Exactly, you're immune. You can go in into a Tesco's and get some beans. You're fine.
Yeah.
Nobody had that line in the film, might I add. Okay. Everyone was just going,
rah. I don't think they have Tesco in America, do they?
They don't.
Okay.
Let's see. Maybe we'd be proven wrong. But at the end of it... Switch off now if you don't want to know the end. They show how the fucking thing... Excuse my language. How the fucking thing happened, Phil. So...
Is it a world map? Do they show a world map with lines going across?
They might have done. But what they do is, right, so this is how they show you how it began. So, beg your pardon. Gwyneth Paltrow dies. Then also you see in other areas... This model in New York dies. And then this guy, I can't remember where he is. He dies as well. Now, Gwyneth Paltrow is on a business trip at the beginning of the film. And I can't remember where she's gone. I don't know where she is. I think it's China, let's say. If it's not China, I'm sorry. But she's there and she's in a bar.
Mm.
And you see her touch loads of things. And then you see the model is there. The model's in the same bar. And then you see the waiter that comes over is the other person that you saw die at the beginning of the film.
Christ.
Turns out that Gwyneth Paltrow meets the chef in this kitchen and he shakes her hand. And you know what he's done? He's just touched a dead pig. And he hasn't washed his hands. And then he shakes her hand.
Okay.
And that's how she gets the virus. She touches a glass. The model leaves her wallet on a bar. Gwyneth Paltrow goes, sorry, you forgot your wallet. And the model touches the wallet. Now she's got it. And this is how quick it happened. And then somebody says, it's because... Oh no, then you see. Sorry, I'm so excited. A bat was eating a bit of banana.
And did someone get a hold of this banana?
The bat's eating the banana.
Yeah.
The banana falls from the bat's mouth into where the pigs are. The pig eats the banana. The pig's got the bat virus. Then the chef touches the pig. Doesn't wash his hands, touches Gwyneth. She's back in America. Everyone in America's got it. So if you're going near a pig, wash your hands. Which is basically what they say happened.
Wash your hands.
With the live animal market. Isn't that what they were saying? Was how Corona all started?
Well, it's...
Or is that controversial? I don't know.
I don't know. But you see, it's things like that that I that's why I can't watch those movies. It's because I think at the end of the outbreak, they had the world map.
Right.
Or did they? I don't know. I was a child when I saw it. And...
That's Dustin Hoffman and a monkey. Is it a monkey goes nuts and bites them? Or no, it doesn't bite somebody?
I just remember it's Dustin Hoffman, a load of plastic suits.
Yes.
Light blue in colour.
Light blue in colour. Renee Russo.
Which,
that's the female lead in it.
Okay, that rings a bell. I'll look it up after.
Or
this.
Just the lead. I don't know why I'm saying female. She's just the lead. Female.
Yeah, the lead.
But we do remember Justin and...
Justin Hoffman. And he, yeah... It was at the end of that, basically, I think, or maybe I'm confusing it with another film. Again, this is going back years and years. But they had the world map and they were showing how quickly it spread between, like, a flight goes from here to here.
Oh,
man goes home to wife. Blah, blah, blah. And it was stuff like that. And I went, no, I don't want to. You see, that's what I find terrifying about it.
Yeah.
Is the, because I have those thoughts about germs anyway, because...
I thought you said Germans for a second.
No, germs. because I haven't said it yet, but I've had the OCD since I was a child. And when I was a teenager, it was all about germs.
Right.
So we'll take it down a scale or two, but I used to have fears that, like, I would have a germ on me.
Right.
That would pass. Usually, it was usually about babies and small children. So if I had a friend over and they had their baby with them,
yeah,
and they're like, here, hold the baby. And I'm like, baby's going to get something off me.
Right.
Definitely.
Definitely. 100%.
Definitely. And that used to freak me out. So when I see how easy, because one of the comforts of trying to talk myself down from that was, like, you know, you can't pass on things that easily, or the germs that are on you aren't as exotic that it would have that detrimental an effect.
Yeah.
On a child. You can't, you know.
You think, yeah.
Yeah. But then you see, you watch films like that. And it's like, well, you see, it can happen. Yeah.
And then everyone goes, oh, we all knew that this kind of thing was going to happen. It was only a matter of time before we ended up having a world pandemic / flu thing. And you're just going, oh, well, how come no one else knew? I didn't know. I mean, I know that I'm very low on the list of people to tell.
No one told me. All right, no one tells me anything.
Lads, no one's telling me. But yeah, it's moments like that as well where you just go, oh my God, this is what it makes me feel, Phil. Powerless. Powerless over the actions of a pig and a bat.
Because you can't, there's nothing you can do about that.
But if a, how do you stop bats? Is it coming down to this? How do you stop bats going bananas?
Eating
a banana, flying around. It's not my fault if a bat doesn't finish its meal before it heads off somewhere and then
away. Leaves the leftovers for the pig to have.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing you can do about that, because that's what a bat's meant to do. A bat is meant to eat fruit and fly around the place. And if he doesn't want to eat, finish the banana, that's his own prerogative.
Yeah.
And then you can't stop the pig. They're just going to do it. It's the world. It's life.
Is it? We just have to wash our hands a ton. And love one another.
I don't know.
I don't know who this fictional chef in Contagion was.
Mm.
He was obviously an actor.
He was an actor.
But I don't know why you would... If I was a chef and someone said to me, Gwyneth Paltrow
wants to shake your hand,
even though she's playing a lady.
Well, knowing that she makes candles that smell like... I'd be washing my hands. That's enough. I'm joking. That's a joke.
But I don't... Listen, I think it's fair to say... Has she sold one of them candles off that site?
They're probably sold out, Jazz. This is the fucking thing.
They're probably 250 quid for a candle that no one wants to smell. What about just a nice vanilla and lavender scent or something like that?
She might be confident enough that her bits and bobs smell that way.
Well, mine wouldn't.
Yeah. And I'll... Speaking for myself, I'd second that.
I wouldn't want it. Because do you know what happened? I'd light one of me fanny candles and someone...
I wouldn't mind getting a smell, a candle made of the smell of my neck. You know, because that's where all your pheromones are.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that would be good as well if someone was coming in you're having a romantic evening, you're getting your pheromones out there. Like, anything else?
Like, I remember, like, there was nothing more lovely growing up than the smell of my mother's neck. Or if you found something in the house that, oh,
yeah,
that smells
a bit like your mum.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you go, yeah.
If your mum ever left you in hospital, as my mum did, and she'd leave her glove so I could smell her on her glove. But she'd also say, I'm coming back for that glove in 5 minutes. And then I'd be there hours later clutching that glove with all my abandonment issues racing around my little head.
The glove is staying, man.
The glove is staying. But you know what? Guess who's not coming back for it? Her nibs. Mam. Also known as mom.
Nibs?
Yeah, her nibs. You know, have you ever heard that saying?
No.
You say, oh, her nibs is coming in.
No.
Well, that's it. That's, I always newer. Call everyone her nibs.
I've not heard that.
No. Yeah. There was a... Oh, that's not even remotely interesting. I was going to say, there was a... The League of Gentlemen. That TV series.
Yeah.
Which is like one of my favourite TV shows ever. There's a character in it called Polly who's obsessed with pens.
Yes.
And she was going to open a shop called her nibs.
Ah, there you go.
And that used to really
tickle you.
Really tickle me.
Was this a marigold your mother would leave behind, or was it like
a... It was a physical outside glove.
Okay. For warmth.
Obviously I was in the hospital around about Christmas or winter times. She had a glove with her and she gave it to me so I could
Excuse me. Sorry.
But it was tiny, strange little cat has just kind of pops underneath the duvet with her two little paws and made a squeaky sound.
Oh!
She's trying to take the duvet down.
And now
happening.
She's jumping on it, which I kind of knew you'd do because you can't not, can you?
Oh, listen, you're a scamp.
She's a scamp and a
her
half.
Nibs is a scamp.
Her nibs.
But the fanny candle, just to...
Wrap that one up.
If I had a candle that smelled like my fanny, I just know that if somebody came into the house, they'd say... Jesus Christ, you crack a window.
Do you fancy going out for lunch?
Have you opened a bin?
Oh, what's that story you told? You told me a story. You're at a party, you don't have to tell.
Oh, no. I will. So we went to a party.
Let's end on this high note. I know, after talking such guff about Gwyneth Paltrow and her candle.
I went to a party one time where there was a lot of, it was basically protein snacks and sausages and that kind of thing. So it was a lot of, like, loads of meat, but no actual vegetables or anything like that.
Any cheeses?
There was some cheeses there for sure. But I went to this party anyway and I ate quite a lot of sausages during the day. And they were all different kinds of meats and it gave me quite a dicky tum. Mm. And at this party was an incredibly handsome man.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, he's lovely. So he had to go out for a while and he was going somewhere else. And he said, I'll come back to the party later and maybe we can chat. And I was going, yeah. Oh my God.
I'll be here.
So he went off and then he came back and my stomach was really, really...
In flitters.
It was really bad. And I was farting quite badly.
Oh.
But I was going, it's fine. But they were one of those, they were the kind of farts where they felt quite warm. There was no sound, but there was a lot of warmth when they were happening.
That's the way you knew they were passing.
Yes.
There was no sound, but there
just
was...
Just the warmth.
The heat. Yeah. The heat of them.
And he came back and I was talking to him and I let a fart and I was going, well, and if that, and there's no reaction, that's fine. And he was kind of chatting away, kind of smiling, and then his face changed.
It dropped. It went ashen.
And he went, Jesus Christ, has someone opened a bin? To which I responded, no, I don't think so.
I don't have a bin.
Or maybe yes, I don't know, whatever. And then my best friend came over and said, oh my God, what is that smell? And I was going, nothing, do you know what, Louise? It's just an ordinary smell because it's an ordinary day. And then later on I said to her, do you remember the smell in the kitchen? That was me. And she was like, that was the worst thing anyone has ever smelled in their lives.
It's just the worst.
As a collective or individual.
Yeah.
So that's the high I'll leave you on. This is
it now. Let's see. I mean, if in doubt,
Exactly.
Throw out a fart story.
Also, if it happens to you that you're at a party and you let a particularly warm or bad fart, always say that. Has someone opened? Jesus, has someone opened?
You see, I couldn't hold my composure in a situation. I remember there was one time I was shooting something and we're talking to the director and we're all standing up against the same radiator because it was freezing. And he's talking away. And then I just let it slip. And oh my God. Yeah, like that. It was silent. It had a temperature. And the minute the minute it hit the air. And my friend stands beside me. She goes, what's up?
It's like she'd been bitten.
Yeah. She'd been bitten by an odour. And she starts going, oh God, who farted? Right. And of course I look her square in the face and she looks me square in the face. And I just went, starts that giddy laughter. And that to her, like, hello. Like, I'm good at owning up to when I've dropped them bad boys, right? Yeah. And she, like, she should have known from my hysterical laughing.
Yeah, that you were the culprit.
Yeah. And, yeah. And then she went, who farted? Who farted? And I was going like, in her face.
Isn't it like you're the Joker?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Heath Ledger one. And the Oscar winning one.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, that was my way of owning up. But yeah. She was still pointing the finger going, oh, you know, who did that? And then she says, I'm going to... We haven't seen each other in months. This is what this is about. This is what this is about.
Oh no.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
She says, it smells like a ham. That stopped me from laughing though, because I was like, oh, just, I haven't had ham in ages. No, after time.
Maybe it's ages. Not me at all. Maybe it's
I think we're on the wrong page. We're not on the same page.
Oh God.
So anyway, then I skipped it off outside because I couldn't keep the laughter in. I was just like, hey, that was me, that was me, that was me.
Oh God.
Oh, away I pranced.
Oh God. I think the very idea of a fart having a temperature.
Yeah.
We've all been there. We all know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
That sensation of knowing it's basically happened and now you're out of control.
Yeah.
Oh. Look, listen. Guys, this has been series one of We Heart Worry.
Yeah. If you want to email us.
Do. It's, what's the email address?
Weheartworry@gmail.com.
And thank you for the emails that you have sent. No one sent any questions and that's absolutely fine. Maybe they don't believe that we...
Maybe there's something to ask.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to ask. The reason we invite you to email is because if you want to share your worries with us.
Yeah.
And we might read them out. But if you don't want to.
Exactly.
That's grand.
We're just here for you.
Yeah. Yes, if you want to talk about anything about worries.
That's not.
Neither of us are qualified to counsel you or anything at all.
I'm a hot mess. I think we've established that.
We've established that. Mm-hmm. We prefer to talk about hot farts. So that's that.
Yeah. We'll be back at some point.
We'll be back. Look, we'll be back.
It could be a matter of weeks, could be a matter of days. We haven't made any strong plans.
No.
But as you can see, it's been a year from episode 5 to episode 6. But we're not going to leave you hanging that long.
No.
That's the promise.
That's the promise. So until then, look after yourself. God bless.
God bless.
Stay well.
Take care.
Wear your masks.
Wear a mask.
Wash your hands.
Yeah.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Heavy Pencil.
An actor of my experience, you just get rung.
Dry,
a podcast sitcom with Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
I played Edmund Gilder, and he played Fanny Snatch.
The Observer called it
a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
I'm not having any more of this. I need you to pull me off immediately.
Heavy Pencil from Great Big Owl.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.